Guys are up early.
Morning, Rob.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Terrific, thank you. I've got a
What
different.
makes you
I got
think we're up early?
a. Well, you're a little early for the call. That's good. All right. Well, I've got a different background today, as you can see.
Oh yeah, you do.
Yeah. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Good, yeah. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee today. We're in our new condominium in Nashville. So a new place. We had it worked on while we were in Florida, and now we're here. So it's nice. It's fun. It's not much going on in Nashville. It's very quiet, pretty closed down, but we'll get
What
there.
area of town are you in, Rob?
We're right downtown.
Yeah,
So yeah,
near
so
the
I'm
gulch.
now I'm actually right next to the river.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just up on the hill. If you're facing the city, standing in the stadium, you'd look up on the hill on the left, and that's where you'd see me.
Okay. My daughter lives in East Nashville.
Oh yeah, my daughter does too.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, my granddaughter is there, and hence the reason we're in Nashville.
You're what they call a halfback.
Yeah. Halfback. Okay, what's that mean?
Snowbirds who moved to Nashville and found, or moved to Florida, and they found Florida too hot, so they moved halfway back.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool. Very cool. So, anyway, so we leave Florida for about 3 months or so, and let the hurricane season have its way, and I was giving my granddaughter her first golf lesson yesterday. We had so much fun.
Yeah.
So anyway,
How old is she?
She's six, so she's just, I think, at a good age to start.
Absolutely. Yeah,
So.
I'm learning with my kids. It's pretty smart to maybe as much as I want to teach them stuff, it seems like if I get like one of the other, girls from the youth group or somebody else that it teaches them, they seem to like that idea a lot better than dad teaching them
Oh
everything.
yeah.
So having grandpa do it probably helps a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly. It's sort of she was all dressed up with her outfit on and her bow in her hair and ready to go.
Great. That's great.
My daughter had no trouble getting her up in the morning.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. So what's on your mind this beautiful August day?
Well, I'm wondering why Barbara changed her background from Cancun, where I think she is, to disguise, where she might be.
A little mystery, Brad, never hurts a man.
Oh. Wow, that's clearly a woman thing. I've heard that one from my wife.
Classic.
Very good. Very good. That's great.
Well, Rob, I'm having a little bit of technology issue. Brad and I are in my office here in Danville,
Oh,
literally
cool.
about, well, we're social distance probably. Yeah,
close.
Oh, how fun.
But I'm having some latency on my end.
So using up too much bandwidth or something, or?
Yeah, I'm on my hotspot.
Okay.
And about an 8-year-old Mac computer that needs to be replaced.
That's
So everything Dean says, I get to hear twice.
Yeah, So you're going to be one of those guys that continues to have a backlog for Apple, huh?
Right, right.
Amazing. Amazing what's going on, isn't it? Money supply growing at the rate it is. No wonder we have the growth that we have. So interesting, interesting times. So why don't you guys, you watch the video. What do you think? What are your, questions for me this morning? Building meaningful client relationships.
Well, it wasn't exactly related to this week, Rob, but Dean and I did come up with our 24-month agenda, so we're anxious to implement that.
Okay, and what did you learn from it?
Well, I'm not sure that I learned anything from the agenda per se, other than it takes a little bit of thought and effort to plan out that far. And we kept finding, even after we thought we were done, we kept thinking of topics that we probably ought to include, so we'd have to go back and adjust. But I think we have a pretty good 24-month agenda.
Is there anything that you learned that I should know about? That you thought, Rob didn't think of this.
You mean with respect to the proposed agenda?
Correct.
I think that, as I recall, the only thing that we put on our agenda that I don't remember seeing on the agenda that you had, Rob, was the topic of alternative investments.
Good idea.
Yeah, we also there was a couple of topics where you have 2 weeks two months, 1 week of follow-up that I'm not sure we're going to adhere to that. I forget which ones they were. Was it insurance?
Maybe insurance.
Yeah, wherever we entered a new topic, there were 8 new topics over 21 months. Those are non-recurring topics. Wherever we had those, like insurance or long-term care or anything that was going to mortgages or reviewing the liability side of the balance sheet. We figured it would take 1 month to introduce it, and then you're going to end up with 10 people that are going to take action steps from that. And the reason we gave you 2 months in all those topics was we just found that when we introduced it, it took another month at least to follow up and finish. And if we slammed another topic on top of that, we'd overwhelm you. So if you don't feel like you'd be overwhelmed, like with beneficiaries or something like that, then go ahead and introduce a new topic. But remember, you know, mortgages take anywhere from what? 1 month. You know, the shortest you're going to do a mortgage is going to be probably 3 months. And I don't know. Maybe you do them quicker now. But...
not at Morgan Stanley.
So that was the point. So you wouldn't have too many things on your plate. I want you to like the process rather than getting blown away by it. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. And also we wanted to be very educational in nature, the first few out of the box, rather than go with life insurance, you know, because that would be kind of a thinly veiled. Well, wait a minute. You told me these would be educational calls, and we want the first to be very educational. Mm-hmm.
you know, our August call, we're looking at elections and asset allocation. You know, what happens under a Biden victory? What happens under a Trump victory? And which one, you know, which way do we go that way?
Right.
And then in September, we're looking at alternative investments, really just a very 30,000 foot educational level. You know, here's what they are. And then risk management, long-term care, disability, you know, in October, then November, the tax, you know, RMDs, tax loss harvesting, those things. And then December is philanthropic. Yeah.
I like the philanthropic too.
Yeah. That's really Brad's sweet spot. He's, you know, he's got his, what's the CAF? CAP.
CAP.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably emphasize donor advised funds and talk about the strategy of bunching techniques that month.
Right. I think that can be such a huge help for people. They think it's so complicated, you know, whether you do a family foundation or you do a donor advised fund, they just are overwhelmed. They don't like the idea of giving money away. They're never going to keep it, get it back. But I think from a financial planning point of view and a benefit point of view to the client, it's probably the most rewarding estate planning that you can do.
Right.
You know, it pays off in your lifetime. You see the rewards. You have the children. You know, you develop your children. They learn asset allocation. They learn investment process. They learn that giving is a part of the legacy. And, you know, the question I ask FAs to ask their clients is, how do you think you can use your money to pass on your values to your children? You know, we're always worrying about ruining our children with money. But on the other hand, money can be a great tool to teach values.
Yeah. Morgan Stanley has kind of a neat add-on with their donor advised fund. The minimum for a client is $25,000, but that client can open sub-accounts for children or grandchildren for $5,000. I have one client who opened a sub account, put $5,000 in it for each of 12 grandchildren, and then challenged them to give the money away and explain to grandmother why they chose who they chose. So I thought it was just a great way for her to model philanthropy to her grandchildren.
It's terrific. Just terrific. Congratulations. That's great. I hear very little, frankly, from FAs on this topic. Really disappointing. I think it's a big important part.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. It's a missed opportunity not to have that conversation. I think it's a differentiating conversation.
Oh, I think it's huge. And I think, you know, the more you move up the wealth curve, the more important the conversation is and the less they know about it. I mean, people without any money, you know, they understand they tithe and they give to church and they understand giving. But people are so worried about running out of money that they just never get around to the benefits of having money and helping and the giving. You know, giving is the greatest emotional tool that we have to make ourselves feel good. You know, it's the joy of giving. They call it the joy of giving because it is joy. And giving makes us feel better than anything else. Helping, actually feeling as though we are making a difference. So not coaching and educating our clients on on the, how that is done and how it, they can do it without worrying. Is highly neglected. And I think you guys could, you know, make that a cornerstone, which it sounds like you already have, a cornerstone of your marketing. You know, in terms of just really teaching families how to, how you pull your family together through giving, rather than having money pull you apart as you, you know, so much. You know, television and movies and everything else just teaches us that money is horrible, you know, and tears families apart and everything. I think we can teach the opposite, that money can be a great way to pulling families together and teaching them and giving them so many benefits. But I think people are just, you know, most average human beings grew up without any money. And, you know, this is their first generation of having wealth. And they really don't know what to do with it other than buying a bunch of stuff. So I think you can be a big help to those families.
You know, Rob, along with this, the financial planning conversation is integral to the philanthropic conversation. In some cases, it's helping clients understand that they have the wherewithal to give the money away and in effect give them permission to give the money away.
Right. Exactly. It's like permission to take that cruise or something. You know, it's permission mm-hmm. to give money away. My brother literally took a 90-year-old lady to New York to give. She'd always wanted to give money to the, I think it was the Metropolitan Opera or something, and took her to New York, and she presented the check, and it was a thrill for her. But she couldn't have done it mm-hmm. by herself. And he, as a financial advisor, took that extra step to literally take her on the train and go to New York. I mean, that's a that's a little crazy, but that's, you know.
That's yeah, a, I love it.
Yeah, isn't that fun? Yeah, it's a great story. Yeah. It's a he has a great heart. He's he was a great financial advisor. He wasn't supernova, and he wasn't, you know, doing all the things that I teach, but he could teach me a lesson or two on how to build relationships and how to build legacy with clients. So yeah, so that's wonderful. Those are the things they tell stories about, right?
Rob, I did my first charitable trust in 1988, and some years later, when the last of the income beneficiaries passed away, the niece of the last remaining income beneficiary asked me if I wanted to accompany her to present the checks to the charities that this couple had left their money to. And that was also really fun and really gratifying.
Oh, that's terrific. That's, you remember that, right? It's just not like.
Oh, sure.
It's not just another day at the office, you know? It's wonderful. The other things we wanted to follow up on besides the 24-month calendar was the enthusiastically endorsed list. And I'm staying on you guys on this because I think it is such a big, important opportunity, to build your network. How did you start that or try that or where are we on that?
Well, I don't have a complete by any means, but, if you were to ask me for references for attorneys or CPAs, I mean, I've had references that I've been making for years now. So at least on that front, I'm in good shape. But as far as going further down the list, that one, you know, that's just something we're going to have to make a priority, ask some of those questions on our monthly calls.
Right. So that brings us to our agenda, building your agenda for your calls. Make sure you put that, literally put that on the agenda. It will help you and it will teach them what you're doing and why you're doing it. So don't be afraid to actually put it on the agenda as an agenda item. Okay. Let's go back to segmentation and scheduling. How are we doing on those two topics?
Better, much better.
Okay, better is what?
I think what Brad and I talked about was the overlap, because I would like to spend more time in Indy, and so we're going to stagger our weeks so that I can have 1 week. Should we want to meet clients in Indianapolis, we'll have a week open for that.
So in other words, Rob, I'm punching my calls in week 3 and 4 of the month. And Dean, I think, is going to bunch his calls in week 2 and 3 of the month. And so that leaves open for him week 4, where if he comes to Indianapolis, and especially if I'm having a review with a substantial client, he can come over and join in that review and get to know those clients.
Okay.
So, I'm not 100% on segmentation. I'm probably have made about half the calls that I need to make. And as I have those conversations with those clients, and I send them to Barbara, who is plugging them into the schedule, but she's having a little bit of difficulty making her phone calls. And I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, Barbara, but I think maybe close to half the clients that you've called to schedule, and they know that you're calling to schedule, have yet to return your call.
Yeah, I mean, it's roughly that. It might be a little less than half, but, it's just getting a hold of them. So I'm trying different channels and the email. First I'm reaching out through phone call, and then I'm emailing to follow up on the phone call. But, overall, I think it's going pretty well. People are receptive to it and looking forward to it.
So what percentage would you say, Barb, that you've done of the total clients?
I actually have a solid number. So out of 41 people, I have 23 scheduled and 5 waiting on callbacks. So I'm not getting too deep into it, although time is kind of ticking away as we've now hit August, but I don't want to call further down the list Brad, if I'm wrong, he kind of wanted me to call in order to give people preference of scheduling. So I'll call 10 people, and if 5 of them haven't called me back, then I try not to, get too far down the list to avoid not allowing someone up higher on the list, preferential timing and scheduling.
So theoretically, Brad, you'd be coming around to meet to month 2 of those people, calling them back, even though it wouldn't be scheduled, you'd still be calling them again, I imagine. And at that point, if they're not responding to Barbara, I would go ahead and give them a time and give them a day and a time. Just basically, or give them 2 days and 2 times that they could choose from, rather than having, some people are just not going to respond because they don't know that they don't understand it, or they forgot what you told them. So.
Well, it's probably that they forgot, because I will say that the calls, when we finish the calls and I explain that Barbara is going to be calling them to drop them into the schedule, the vast majority of my clients have expressed enthusiasm for the new service model.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit shocking that there are so many that haven't called her back yet. So maybe I need to follow up with an email and just jostle their memory a bit. Hey, Rob, that does bring up a question, though, and I don't know that there's anything you can do about it, but if I understand the Supernova scheduler in Excel, so Barbara's been using that to schedule the clients, and there's a mechanism. She pushes a button and it automatically loads those appointments into my calendar. But essentially she has to wait until she gets everybody scheduled, because if she were to push the button today and put those 20 some people in my calendar, and then she goes and gets appointments with another 20 people, if she pushes the button a second time, then it's going to load all 40 of those calls into the Outlook calendar, and then I'm going to have duplicates on the first 20. Now, I don't know if there's a way around that, but I'm a little concerned that if Barbara waits until she hears from everybody to push the button, that I'll risk not having somebody on my calendar, or I'll schedule something that conflicts with something that she scheduled but not push the button yet to put it into the calendar.
Yeah, it's a real issue. I'm right now having the whole calendar brought up to date because the new technology is not going to accept the old scheduler. So I've hired a firm to bring it up to speed and make it work more efficiently. And this is one of the issues that we've always had. So okay. All I can tell you,
well, we'll work around it.
Yeah, it's just I'm aware of it, and I know that it's annoying. But it, you know, the scheduler was never something that commercially we were ready to go out and sell to the world. It was a way of making it much easier for you guys, but not necessarily the most efficient machine in the world. So I think on this iteration we're going to make it more so it will work with other, it'll work with Salesforce and it will work with other things than just Outlook. So anyway, we're on it. And I'm making the investment, so it's I'm aware of it. So if you can work around it for the time being, I'd appreciate it.
We will.
Okay. Because you're right. I mean, it's kind of like hurry, 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 get everybody in, and then push the button, right? and then you can, yeah. And then you can add somebody, but you don't want to add 21 new people, you know. Anyway, Barb, if you can always call Cindy and say, Cindy, is there a way of working around this? Because Cindy's my person for this. And I know you've talked to her. I hope you have, anyway.
Yeah, I just spoke with her. It was either Thursday or Friday with that specific question because, you know, we've just had some back and forth among the team, like, you know, where are we? Why aren't these on our calendar kind of thing? So I just double confirmed with her that I had understood the tool correctly.
And you were right, right? Yeah. Because we've had that happen, and then people freak out because now they got double booking, and they're like, why did you, am I? It's much worse than than having to wait. And that's why we encourage you. That's why we say, you know, get this whole thing done in 4 weeks. So I would just suggest, Brad, to go ahead and give it some attention and get the people signed up, even if it requires an email or a phone call or something, but just to get finished. Dean, how about you?
Slow progress. Courtney and I this week are gonna really hammer down on getting the first, I don't know, 40 or 50 people scheduled. A lot of the ones I wanted to segment away
was contingent upon a company selling. Very good client has a SEP IRA with, I don't know, there's 20 or 30 participants of which I was going to give away. Well, now that deal has fallen through, and I can't jeopardize that account. I can't just say, hey, I'm not going to service your employees.
We don't really count them as part of your 1242. You're not going to give them 1242. You're gonna talk to them maybe four times a year, right? Not even that, probably.
Yeah.
Every 6 months or something when you visit. So don't think of them as, it's like, participants in a 401k where they, you got, but what I do always tell people is the head guy, he's a 1242 or the, that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Some people don't get that. They go, well, we talk to him. I visit him quarterly. I'm like, you could lose the whole account in that 3 months that you don't talk to him. So anyway.
Yeah.
Good. Well, a lot of it is just, okay, we're going to get it done. Let's do it. Plunge and get it.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah. And that's not unusual. Okay. It's like, okay, can we get this done easily? No, it's going to take a little work. Sorry.
It's just the distractions with working remotely. And I've got another large client. We're doing the startup 401k, which I will never do again.
Because it's really just me doing it. And that probably took 20 of my hours last week,
Yeah,
but it is what it is.
Startup 401ks are, I always told you guys that, if you don't have 10 401ks, don't be in the 401k business. And frankly, there's no money in a startup 401k unless it's a big company.
This is a big client who could be much bigger, who is very influential, McDonald's franchisee. It's
oh yeah, that one.
Good friends of ours. So
okay, worth it.
Yeah, I had to.
Yeah, no.
March.
No, that's an obvious decision. But anyway, that's where teaming. Now, it's dangerous when you team up, but with somebody that's not literally on your team. But hopefully everybody sticks around and you can trust people, but it doesn't always happen that way. So sometimes you have to keep everything in-house just for the, protecting your assets and your franchise. Okay. So that took 20 hours and got it. So let's just spend a minute on the template for client meetings. Questions on the agendas. You're very involved with your clients. You do legitimate financial planning. The agenda comes from the financial plan. It comes from things that the client needs to remember and keep track of. So I would be comfortable, suggesting to you guys that, for example, you put on the agenda items that both of you are trying to remember. Okay, so for the university, the fiscal year ends June 30th. So you need to have your donation in, the guy's committed $25,000 to the university this year, and you have to, sell stock or give stock. So you need to remember that. And so you put it on the agenda. And if the market is strong, I mean, this year is kind of crazy. Every month it seems to be a better market, but they're at, you know, a lot of times the market will spike in a certain series of months and you might want to take advantage of that and give away some stock then. So I just have found that the agenda can work to help you in a lot of ways that you didn't think about, where you're keeping that stuff in your head and you can get it down on paper and sort of makes life easier for you.
The last another thing we need to talk about is doing the mini me folders and how that's going to work, you know, in a COVID environment, that type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think they can work fine. I mean, I work, as far as I'm concerned, you guys can have the folders, your folders at home with you. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, but, I mean, I have my folders, right? I can manage the whole thing myself. So there's no reason that you can't. If you want to, I mean, you can do it virtually by, you know, you're going to have your communications through the internet and through your computers to your team so that they know what conversations you had. But if you want to keep a permanent folder with you, it's fine. Then you take it out and take a look at it and remember what you talked about. You can look on the computer and remember what you talked about, or you can write it down in your folder. It's up to you. But for the client, I think it's a big deal. They love the mini-me folder. You know, they have the agenda. Again, they can work electronically, and we're working to try and create some electronic folders. But they can have their own folder with information about you. Everything's in one place. They can have their own enthusiastically endorsed list there. They can have introductions given and received, which I think is important to teach them. And then the agendas, and then notes from the calls. And you want to teach them to take notes and to write down questions so they're not calling you about what do you think about the Middle East, or what do you think about China, or what do you think about the election. You know, we can talk about that when we have our call, so write down your specific questions so you don't forget them. So you're not reprimanding the client for calling you. What you're doing is teaching them to hold those questions till the end. You know, because half of them will go away and half of them will, we can talk about on the monthly call. And there's not, you know, most of them we can't do much about, right? We're not going to affect the election. We're not going to affect China relationships. We're not going to do much based on things that we can't control. And if there's an urgent problem, we're going to call you. So I think it's just a matter of training them, and the folders are a great training tool to train your clients on how to be a better client. So the introductions given and received is an important part of your folder and their folder. And because it gives you a chance to remember who gave you what introductions and to thank them periodically. You can thank them on the anniversary of when they opened the account. You can thank the person that gave you the introduction and the person that you were introduced to. So just having the date and the time, you know, the day that you opened the account and the day you were given the introduction, it also might mean that by writing it down, you never opened the account, but you forgot about, you just kind of went on and the guy never opened the account, but he's still theoretically interested. So you might go back and call him again. Anyway, it's a handy tool, I think, for you and for the clients, and keeps you organized.
Rob, let me interject something if I could, and this is the question for the other team members, but I've kind of been struggling with the idea of the mini-me folder for the client and how we help them keep that up to date, and do they have a physical folder, do they have a digital folder? But as I was listening to you talking just now, it occurred to me that we could maintain that mini-me folder digitally in their digital vault. We have a mechanism now with Morgan Stanley Online where the client can open a digital vault and store documents in it, and those documents then become available to us when we go to their account record in our client system. So I think you just gave me a really good idea for how we may help clients think about that mini-me folder, and at the same time, maybe encourage clients who are not signed up for Morgan Stanley Online or who have kind of avoided the digital technology. Maybe this would be a motivating way to get them to use these tools.
What does the rest of the team think?
I think it's a great idea. I think that's the way to go. I mean, it's so easy to use. It's so easy to use. Yeah. Sorry, Dean.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's just so easy to use, and then it's a permanent record for doc sharing. It's quite the tool. So, good idea, Brad.
I think it's a good idea as well. One thing we may talk about is how we save those so that they show up as digital, or their digital file for their for their mini-me file, because there are other documents that are shared there as well. Financial plan documents, there may be, someone may have posted their will there. There are a lot of different things that are there, so we may design something so we can go right to it based on the way we label the things that we save there.
Yeah, it's just a matter
of
consistent labeling. I mean, you can create folders, yeah, and but it's just a matter of being consistent on where those things go. I mean, the only people that have control of that are either the client naming it and filing mm-hmm. it correctly, or when we receive it and approve the document for us to do it at that point in time.
Right. So I didn't realize there was a folder capability there, so that's good to know.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that, guys. If you're going to use it, can you make a note to kind of report in on it? I may not remember, but I love the idea. And now, would you wouldn't keep the notes, right, from your calls in there, or would you?
No.
It's something more permanent that you'd create.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I think the task for us is just to create uniformity so that we're filing and keeping everything the same for every client, so we know where to quickly find it, how to teach the client how to use it, how to make it replicable and scalable.
Yeah, it's just trying to help the client to remember what their password is. We can get past that hurdle.
Yeah.
Right, we get past that hurdle, yeah. We can get them all online. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
The user, what's my username and my password? I can't remember, right? I mean, yeah. Anyway, good ideas. Great.
You know, maybe we ought to buy everybody one of those thumb drives that takes the thumbprint and just tell them to hook that into their computer so they don't have to worry about remembering their password.
Are you serious? There is such a thing?
Yeah, you can buy a little USB drive that has that will take your thumbprint and use it as your password, just like you do on your Apple.
And that will work on Morgan Stanley login procedures.
Well, I don't know. I think it will, but we, you know, obviously we have to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah, the easiest thing to use we have is our app with that facial recognition. It just couldn't be easier to get in.
Right.
Well, clients will always find a way to not get in. Anyway.
And it's always your fault when they don't.
Right. Right. Now, look, you guys, some people love this this tool that we have at the end of the chapter 8, which is kind of identifying where your time is going. And you may have done this in the past or not done it, but it's a it's a good tool to use periodically and just sort of force yourself to figure out where you're spending your time. And look, the reality is you're going to have a 401k situation like that that comes up. But that's a conscious decision, not an unconscious decision. And so what you want to do is just raise your consciousness, and that this tool is there to help you to raise your consciousness. So the question is, are you spending your time on urgent, important things, or, you know, and do you wait for things to do? You know, do you study the last night before finals, or do you do your homework every night so you don't have a urgent situation? So the game becomes, let's spend our time on the things that are not urgent but important that we never get to, so that we don't have as many urgent things. So a perfect example is by calling the clients every month and having an agenda and executing on that agenda, we don't have the panic situation where the client, you know, never doesn't get a call from us for 6 months and then has something really important that he forgot about that he had to do. Like tax selling. Why didn't you tell me to do my tax selling? Now it's January and I failed to do it. So that's the idea of having the 24-month calendar is that we're doing important but not urgent things regularly, so that our urgent things are pretty much eliminated. And then we get to activities that are not important. And just trying to manage our day is to minimize the things that are not important. I used to love to play video games on my phone. And I moved them to a different place on my phone, and I never think about them anymore. And so I've saved myself enormous amounts of time. But I, you know, look, I'm admitting it, okay? I was an alcoholic. No. So you admit the fact that you're a human being, you're going to spend time on things that aren't urgent and aren't important, because they entertain you for a few minutes. but make sure that they're not sucking your day away, especially when you guys are independently working. I mean, everybody is really, it's kind of on the honor system now. You know, you get your job mm-hmm. done. We're working. We're trusting each other that we're full out. We're working our tails off to make the team a better team and to give the client an extraordinary experience. But we can't check up on each other now. So all I'm saying is just kind of take a look at that. You can say to yourself, where is my day going? And that's why the 12-4-2 is so valuable with the folders and the schedule and all that, because worst case, you're going to make the phone calls that you need to make and you're going to have called every client every month. That's the worst that you're going to ever do. And that's pretty good. You know, doing meeting with your, calling your centers of influence every month. You know, meeting with your mastermind group every month or calling them every month, having your meeting every month. That's wonderful. That will grow your practice. But at a minimum, you're calling every client. Okay. And so what you want to do is try and move those activities, which will grow your practice, into the important activities that you get done, and it's not at the end of the year, I need three more accounts or something, and you try and open accounts with people that you shouldn't be opening them with. Anyway, just a good tool to pull out periodically and just self-analyze your own practice and see how you're doing with it. So, homework for this week would be to let's get these clients signed up. Okay. So however that gets done, let's get it done. And so Barbara can push the button. Cause once she pushes the button, her life is much easier. All right. So that's for everybody. All right. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. There we go. A little accountability. Okay. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Rob.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Rob.
See y'all later.